A pretty song from Elvis Costello, Every Day I Write the Book. Or if it was Nostradamus performing, Every Day I write the Quatrains. Did, in fact, Nostradamus predict the rise of President-elect Donald J. Trump? With the unexpected victory of Trump over Hillary Clinton in the U.S. election, a great deal of criticism has been leveled at the pollsters who had long predicted a very different outcome. But what if Trump's success actually had been predicted, not within the last few months, but years or even centuries ago, by individuals who had nothing to do with the election campaign whatsoever? Well, this is the controversial view being shared by a growing number of people who believe that 16th century French prophet Nostradamus had foreseen these events hundreds of years ago. Among his vast array of predictions are references to a great, shameless, audacious brawler who will be elected governor of the army and render the city faint from fear. Some believe these words are a reference to Trump and that it also foreshadows World War III. You can read more. Sean Latasseur, our webmaster tonight, has posted the entire story up at the website coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, your calls and your questions, comments for Crop Circle filmmaker extraordinaire Patty Greer right here on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with Patty Greer, Crop Circle filmmaker, and her latest and perhaps last on the subject is Crop Circle Diaries, sort of her closing argument, if you will. PattyGreer.net. PattyGreer.net is the website. Patty, you have sort of laid out the case in this documentary for what these crop circles are. They are a representation of something, and you talk about advanced propulsion systems. Tell me about that.
Well, there's so many different forms of delivery. They come in sacred geometry, which is like a mandala pattern, and they come in mathematics, like the Fibonacci sequence, the Mandelbrot. They come in code, like binary code, like Morse code we've seen. And then sometimes they come in pictograms, pictures. So with each of these categories, everybody's going to see something different when they look at a crop circle. If it's a hummingbird, we're pretty much all going to see it alike. But the interesting thing that happened when I was looking at all these sacred geometries was that I met an interesting guy in Holland who took them and spun the formation, the ones that were sacred geometry. And the thing about sacred geometry is it's got a center dot, and everything comes out evenly from that center out to the edge of the circle or the shape, the star, whatever it is, but it looks, it's symmetric from the center out. And so when you spin it, all of a sudden, like looking at a car driving down the road with fancy tire rims, sometimes you start to hallucinate. It looks like the rims are going the opposite direction, which is actually how Jim Dellatoso explained what he was seeing in the Oliver's Castle crop circle footage, that those balls of light laid the circle down, and as it swirled down, he said that frame by frame, it was actually also moving in the opposite direction like a wheel that looks like it's spinning in the opposite direction. So as we spin, going back to the sacred geometry, these crop circles, a lot of them change form as they spin, like print it and stick a pin and spin it on a piece of paper. You can see it or watch one of my movies where we spin the crop circles, and all of a sudden it looks like a propulsion device, a prop, a motor prop of like a boat was where my head went, and it really changes form as they spin. So we don't realize as we're looking at it the capability, possibilities of what happens when you give it motion. So
right.
That's what I saw.
Right.
And we saw enough of them that I think I showed 60 in a presentation where most of the people were like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, after you bombard your vision with the possibility, then you realize it's possible that we may be seeing a lot of propulsion devices off advanced spaceships or moving vehicles. A lot of the pictograms are easier to read. And in 2009 was my most precise example because the whole summer was pictograms of amazing birds, fish, and bugs I refer to the dragonfly that had veins in the wings. I mean, it was magnificent. Do you remember that crop circle?
I do, yes.
Just beautiful. And a scarab and an octopus that was 1,500 feet long with the tentacles and other fish. There was a swirl of dolphins, three of them spinning in a circle. And then the birds were the phoenix rising with the flames at the base, crop circle. Thunderbird, just consistent all summer long. And we're going, why are we not seeing mathematical formations and all the sacred geometries? It was a summer of pictograms, and 8 months later, the BP oil spill killed millions of birds, fish, and bugs.
Right, right.
To me, it felt like they were giving us a warning. And when we realized that almost all crop circles are coming out of the earth and spinning vortices, 96 or 7% of the documented crop circles all around the world were consistently sitting over an aquifer of water. So aquifer is a necessary element to crop circles, which is really interesting. So if you've got the earth sending up these predetermined messages, they're coming through water, which then those frequencies go out to the waters of earth. And because it's plasma we're working with, very, very high density, delicate, I mean so light, that it spreads and communicates its message quicker than any other form. Then these messages are going out into the water, they come shooting through the earth or laid in a field, and anything moving above, airplane, flying over, other dimensional entities, are going to also see this message. So what we have is a possible co-communication between the earth, her people, and ETs, and the water, going out to all of those elements as well. So it's really a co-communication between all of us, going out to all of us. And I think that different people, like I said, are going to see different things in a crop circle that they look at if it's not an obvious pictogram, where if you've done a lot more spiritual work, if your vibration just appears to be higher because you've done the work, you might see more in a crop circle that other people may not. But a mathematician will see things that I totally miss. Guys that have gone to war have seen the top of a bomb where you unscrew it. I would have never recognized that. Or the star extractor of a pistol that was in a crop circle right after another crop circle 2 years ago that said in binary code, no more war.
Hmm. Well, just back to the propulsion systems for a moment. Has anyone attempted to engineer one of these propulsion systems? I mean, it's almost, it reminds me of that the movie Communion with Jodie Foster, when we were being instructed on how to build something so that we could commune with them. I mean, has anyone tried to engineer one of these propulsion
Not
systems?
Not that I know of. And that's a great question, because what needs to happen now? And again, I don't know why people aren't working with women more. Something about us seems to scare people. But this movie is Penny Kelly and Patty Greer, who have really worked our tails off to bring what's going on in crop circles to be able to benefit the world. And the work that she did with William Levengood in the lab really made it so that we can use the technologies in crop circles. So they created these growth chambers, and they had machines designed that created the frequencies, and they hit them on, but it didn't work at first. And Levengood was like, yeah, what do you expect, you know? And so he put the seeds aside on his desk, and it wasn't until a couple months later, where he was cleaning his desk, he found those seeds that had been in the crop circles put aside. And so he was going to throw them away, and that little voice came in. And so he said, oh, okay. So he put him in the germination chamber, and he put him in the germination tank. And he said, unbelievable, they grew like gangbusters. And what they realized was accidentally, the science was that the seeds inside crop circles need to take a nap for 6 to 8 weeks. They needed to work really hard to reproduce all of their elements, all of their life, because a seed is just a little ball of life. And when it dried out and shrunk up, Penny said that they looked at the seeds and said any proper seedsman would throw them away. But it was that little voice where he stuck them in and realized that if they're given that time and then germinated, that's when they grew 30 to 400% more food and biofuel, very important biofuel, with up to 75% more nutrition per plant. This is going to be so important. And I'm really hoping that Penny and I are going to be able to bring this work to the public. We're looking for funding. We're looking for team. We're looking for safety and security. But these things, like that are in garages today, you know, because you interview all these people, God bless you, Richard, and Coast to Coast, you know that there's the best is yet to come.
Oh, yes. I told you this the last time. I was up in Spokane, and I interviewed a gentleman, Aaron Murakami, who's been on this show on Coast to Coast, talking about his plasma ignition system. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's definitely something going on with the work with plasma systems. Let's go to the wild card line. Thomas is in La Jolla, California. Thomas, good morning. Welcome.
Hi, Richard. Thank you for taking my call.
And my pleasure.
Patty, your work is marvelous.
Thank you.
You know, I'm reminded, you talk about plasma, and it reminds me of the alchemist. In the Middle Ages, they talked about fire, air, water, and earth, and fire being the highest element, similar to plasma. And they also talked about fire stimulating agricultural growth and plants, etc. I'm also reminded of Wilhelm Reich, who talked about orgone energy and how it was related to the earth and the air, and also stimulated life energies in plants, etc.
Yep.
And I guess the question that I have for you, it seems like the earth is alive, just like the indigenous cultures talked about for thousands of years, and that the earth is like, I want to say, like Swiss cheese, and the holes in the Swiss cheese are portals, are interdimensional doorways for these balls of light that you talk about, for what perhaps may be extraterrestrials or maybe interdimensional terrestrials, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can modify my question, how can the average man, the average woman, do what you have done and get in contact with the earth as a living being and bring out these energies to the earth, to our own bodies for healing, etc.? And I'd like you to talk a little bit more about that, how we can all, man and woman, on Coast to Coast, can develop the sensibilities that you have seemed to develop and use effortlessly, these effortless lines of communication, so to speak.
All right, Thomas, thank you for that. Take it away, Patty.
That is a beautiful question, and thank you for the confirmation that perhaps I'm doing this right. I don't think that there's a wall up in front of anyone. It's really a willingness to fully surrender to spirit and to open that door. When I talk about orbs and holding a camera and taking a photo in a room and then putting down the camera and going, oh yeah, and then my mind, consciously, I call in the orbs, and I take the very same picture from the same place in the same light of the same person, place, or thing, and the orbs show up. Now, I'm not any more special than you, Thomas, or anyone else listening. I just know to ask. And I think when I said earlier, the thing about contactees being able to help the planet, we have to listen. So there's a real gift of being open and willing and taking the time to not be in a hurry when you're trying to communicate with other dimensions. It's not rocket science, and it's not outside anyone. It's just a full-on willingness to stop texting, stop being busy, and fully surrender to a quiet place. For me, I live in nature. I live in the woods. I don't have dogs and cats. I have foxes and deer, and I call them in. And I've been practicing with wildlife for 40 years, lowering my breathing, slowing down my breathing, and meeting them rather than expecting them to meet me. And so if we listen to the frequency, the energy of that animal, of that other dimensional entity, and we do it without fear of that mountain lion or fear of that ET, instead we do it with awe and wonder, that animal, that ET, is going to feel extremely welcome by this human, because they are completely telepathic. And as long as we realize that and we put out only what we want to receive, bang, bingo, there it is.
All right, west of the Rockies, Tom is in Riverside, California. Good morning, Tom. Are you there, Tom? Tom in Riverside. Going once. Tom in Riverside.
He went up in the ship.
Going twice. Tom in Riverside. Third time's the charm. You're there, Tom. Come on. All right, we'll put him on hold and we'll come back. First time caller line, Luke is in Liberty, Texas. Hi, Luke.
Yes, sir, Richard. Thanks for having me on your show. Patty, it was nice talking to you, nice listening to you, and recently I read this one web page on the internet. It was something called UFOs in the Christian Worldview or something like that. I don't remember who wrote it, but it was like a preacher or a theologian. He's also interested in UFOlogy, and he said that he found out about some sort of a crop circle that looked like musical notes on a diatonic scale or a musical scale or something. I don't remember what it was, but the people who found out that it looked like musical notes brought out like a keyboard or a flute or a clarinet or some sort of instrument and played the musical notes that it resembled, and it summoned a UFO. And I think the UFO went back after it realized that human summoned it, I think. I'm not sure.
All right, Luca, we're coming up on a break. Let me get Patty to respond. The idea that some of these crop circles may be representative of musical notes, some, I don't know, lost musical scale. Patty, have you heard about this before?
Well, I was in a crop circle in 2007 that resembled a musical note and instruments, so I think that's the one you're talking about. And yes, again, it's going to be a musician that will see that. A mathematician will see the Fibonacci sequence. The crop circles gift everyone somehow. Everyone gets their special crop circle, and the more you look, the more you'll see. And there are all kinds of musical tones that people are hearing in crop circles. So yes, Thomas, very good statement, because music, art, animals, wildlife, everything, magic, star maps for the ETs, all these messages have appeared in crop circles for all people.
All right, Luke in Liberty, thank you for that. Patty, you stay where you are. We'll come back on the other side. More calls, question, comments for Patty Greer, crop circle filmmaker, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Say hello at Richard Serrett. That's my Twitter feed, at Richard Serrett, S-Y-R-E-T-T. Archaeologists in Poland have uncovered the skeleton of a medieval giantess, a woman 7'2" tall. The mysterious 12th century remains were discovered buried close to a church on an island called Ostrow Ledniki in Poland. At more than 2 meters tall, that's 215.5 centimeters, she also had one of the largest ever skulls to be dug up. You can read the entire story at coasttocoastam.com, where our webmaster Sean Latasore has posted that and many more fascinating tidbits. All right, we'll get back to our conversation with crop circle filmmaker Patty Greer when Coast to Coast AM continues right after this. And we are heading into the home stretch with Patty Greer. Her latest and perhaps final crop circle movie is Crop Circle Diaries, and the website pattygreer.net, pattygreer.net. Let's go to the wild card line. Is it Jan or Jan in Brooklyn, New York?
Hi, it's Jan.
Hi, Jan. Welcome.
Thanks. Patty, I think it's wonderful what you've done, and I think it's doubly wonderful that you're a woman and done it and did it.
Thank you.
Listen, I mean, the New World Order is doing a lot of things to hurt us, like GMOs, vaccinations, chemtrails. I mean, I can't believe that they allow this thing with the plasma that the food would be so much better. I mean, I just don't think they want us to be healthy.
It's an unfortunate time, but I think I'm going to be a woman here and be optimistic, which is that years ago I used to hear Patricia Cota Robles say, everything is coming to the surface to be healed. And my God, look at us in America. We just went through the biggest shock because all of a sudden, and I'm not going to go political and upset the audience, but we've got somebody who's actually so brave that's out there who actually beat the machine, who's pointing out everything. And people are going to fist fight to the last minute about the chemtrails and the poisoning of everything until finally they surrender and get it that, no, this is not good for humanity. And it's interesting. I think of Donald Trump kind of like Stephen Greer. You know, they're very popular in some ways, very loud, but people find all these things to complain about. On the other hand, Stephen Greer has awakened millions of people to UFOs, and Donald Trump is waking up millions of people to perhaps what you call the New World Order. I think he's going to point out a heck of a lot, and I am not Trump or Hillary, either one, but I think that we're going to see something amazing happen as everything comes to the surface to be healed. I think things are going to get better.
You know, I think you make a great point, Patty. I think if you, again, not to get political, but if you look at who is lined up against Trump, you know, the establishment, the elites, sometimes if you really want to know who someone is, you look at their list of enemies. Let's go east of the Rockies, and Mike is in Connecticut. Mike, welcome to Coast AM. Good morning. Did we lose Mike? Are you there, Mike, in Connecticut? Mike? Go ahead, Mike. All right, we'll move on, and we'll try to come back to Mike. Wildcard line, Charles is in Elgin, Texas. Good morning, Charles.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for the first stuff. But hi, Patty.
Hi.
You know, it's interesting that you're talking about. This is something that. I don't live in Elgin, Texas. I live way out in the sticks, out in the woods. I'm actually sort of isolated these days because recently my dad was very wrongfully, his life was cut short. But the thing is, we had, I don't know what it is, I didn't realize we were so different until after my dad, what happened to him. But the thing is, I didn't realize that we were out here in the woods. We were always trying to grow things in different projects to grow things and do different things differently. I mean, there's a lot of farmers around here. I'm sure they use all kinds of, you know, who knows what kinds of stuff they use. But the thing is, we have a lot of markets and farmers markets around here and things like that. So it's kind of an interesting, and we're close to Austin, which is very, you know, sort of organic food and all that. But I had a long time ago when the internet.
Charles, you're breaking up on us. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Charles. We're going to put you on hold. I'm going to try to come back to you. Maybe your line will stabilize a little bit. But I know you wanted to talk about Russian research into electromagnetic fields relating to crop circles. Patty, what do you know about the Russians researching this area?
Not much, you know, unless they were sharing the technology. But I think that really there are many, many scientists all over the world with very advanced technologies. And I think when it comes down to it, a lot of the free energy, a lot of the real healing is going to be done when we realize that it really comes down to the basic plasma energies and learning how to work with them. And one of the biggest claims that Penny and Levengood said that really touched me was that oil and gas and nuclear were the energy systems of the old dinosaur ways. And they're saying that when you get a new energy system at the base of your society, you get a new society. Plasma is at the base of the next.
All right. Here's Janine in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. Janine is on the first-time caller line. Welcome. Good morning.
What an honor to speak to both Richard and Patty. Thank you so much for your beautiful work, both of you. Patty, just a couple of quick questions. Is there any effort to put seeds into the crop circle soon after they are made? Is there a catalog of photo of crop circles with base locations if they're man-made or plasma-laid? And do you have any funding project going on besides buying any of your beautiful movies and books from your real website?
Thank you. I don't do books, but I do movies and music soundtracks. There's a donation page on my website. Thank you for asking. And any donations that come in now, I've already made the movies, 8. I've paid for them. I had no idea that it was going to be like this. So donations make a huge difference in being able to get the work out. So thank you for that. And I do want to mention I made a beautiful new gift collection, which is all of my movies and music in one box for half price, called Crop Circle Ecstasy. So it's all together in one box. But yes, I don't have Indiegogo or any of that going. I find a hard time doing that, but I might end up with it because I've got to get the movies out. And it does take money if you don't have distribution. And I don't.
That's for sure.
Believe in it anymore.
Janine was wondering about a catalog of crop circles. Is there such a beast?
Well, the catalog I would recommend, it's an internet site called cropcircleconnector.com. And you can buy an annual membership, and it's fantastic, because anytime there's a new crop circle, such as Brazil last week, you get an email first thing in the morning with the photos, perhaps videos, and documentation from the people that found it. So that's the one that I would recommend. In America, there's one, but they kind of quit doing it in 2006. I think they're ICCR or something in America, the American Crop Circles, but all of them are on the cropcircleconnector.com.
All right. Howard is in Odwalla, Washington. Howard, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Thank you. And it's Malala, sorry. I was wondering about the crop circles, and she was talking about the seeds producing more after a certain time, and I was wondering, is that, are you insinuating because of maybe most people say crop circles are for Marylands, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, so I didn't get the. He was wondering about the seeds within the crop circles producing greater yields, and whether that had something to do with aliens.
Well, I don't know if you missed the earlier part of the show where we realized that they're coming out of the earth. So we've got earth energies for sure, because the earth is a living being, and I'm not talking about a specific underground species. I'm talking about the earth herself. She's a living being. Why is the earth communicating so much with us and including ETs? Look what we're doing to the earth. We're fracking, we're sucking her blood. I mean, we are doing damage. And I think it's a big reason why the earth is sending up these messages for the last few hundred years that we know of.
All right. Pat is in Brewer, Maine, on the east of the Rockies line. Pat, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Hi, Richard. Hi, Patty.
Hi.
You've spoken before about they're in the air, they're the little comma circles that spin around, and I've always seen those since I was a child. I used to ask my parents about them, and I was wondering, they seem like little energy cells, and I think you even mentioned that they're like eggs.
Orbs, lights, light orbs.
No, you're talking about a really extreme show that I admitted what I saw. Yes, when you can train your eyes to see plasma in the sky, which is not difficult, you'll see all kinds of things. But most people, when they go outside, are going to say, oh, yes, I've always seen the little glitter in the sky. But there is a method to the madness where you can actually train your eyes very easily to be able to see plasma moving through the sky, and they're everywhere. And the more you look, the more you'll see. But you begin with the glitter. that most people can see. And of course, you've been misinformed that, oh, it's in your eyelids, it's in your veins of your eyeballs, whatever. No, it's actually something out there in the field. So as you focus on nothing but those glitter dots in the sky that are constantly moving, they never stop moving, so they have energy. They don't really bump each other, so they have intelligence. And as you watch them consistently, you'll see they leave a train of light behind them. So they've got a lot of energy. And if you focus on nothing but those little glints of light that most people can easily see, the more you look, you'll start to see these bigger circles moving, which are plasma. And when I was laying in the crop circles, I was really doing this exercise every day on my back, looking at the sky. But yes, I did see some of them that looked like they had egg sacs stuck off the side. So whatever I was seeing, it was definitely multiplying by eggs, and I wasn't imagining it. There is a lot going on in the sky that if we just, again, stop texting, stop being busy, take time and really focus, you can see a heck of a lot. And I have a movie, number 6, was called Orbs and Light Beings. Probably the most remarkable orb collection I've ever seen in my life. A woman in Australia, Yvonne Schuler, has taken more than 800,000 photos of orbs morning, noon, and night, flash on, flash off, unbelievable red dome ships, pink dome ships with chakras inside. You can't fake this stuff. And very much the same Levengood said, you can't fake crop circles. So it's really interesting that Richard reminded me that, yes, a lot of the human-made crop circles are actually real, because those people, much like many of the contactees out there in coast-to-coast land, have also had contact where they have been able to manifest something by using their intention.
West of the Rockies, Mary is in Salt Lake City. Good morning, Mary. Welcome to Coast.
Hi. I just wondered, Patty, if you have ever worked with or have heard of Linda Moulton Howe. I know she works a lot on crop circles.
She was a friend of Penny Kelly at the lab with William Levengood. Penny still speaks very highly of her. I did send her my movie, Crop Circle Diaries, and I'm really excited for her to watch it and do a review, because I think that with as many years as she's been in the field, she would really appreciate the honoring that we did of his research, which nobody has done until this movie. I don't know how they suppressed it so long, but Linda was privy to the data in the lab, so I really look forward to her seeing the movie. We're not close yet, but I think that once she realizes the work I'm doing, perhaps she might reach out more. She did actually reach out and put a banner of Crop Circle Diaries on her homepage of Earth Files, which boggled my mind. I loved it. Again, I want her to see the movie, because I think that she might actually find a few things she didn't know.
And you've also received some great reviews from Stephen Bassett.
Yes, I did. And you know what he said that was so fascinating? He said the crop circle field is probably the most contentious of all the fields of ufology. That blew my mind. But then I look at, there's really only me and Barbara Lamb. And Barbara Lamb, what an angel. My God, she's been in more than 2,000 crop circles.
Wow.
And still going like the ever-ready bunny.
First-time caller line, and Boris is in British Columbia this morning. Good morning, Boris.
Good morning. I'm originally from Soviet Union, from Russia. But I wanted to share with you, you mentioned that the research that the Russians were performing on plasma and directed energy. A friend of mine was working on aircraft design, which was supposed to use plasma for almost stealth-type technology. One thing that they realized, and this was, you know, this goes kind of to support extraterrestrial crop circle causes, when they tried to control the plasma fields, they caused material breakdown in the actual wheat around the airplanes. So they only would try to activate it at high altitudes. It was uncontrolled damage to the actual wheat and the crop. So that's why any patterns that would develop are definitely beyond the control of what was available in the late 80s. I don't think that it's something that would have been developed by us here on the ground.
Fascinating. Thank you for that, Boris.
And the microwave energies also destroyed the plant, killed the plant. So, no, I think this is definitely a more divine, I'm going to say divine feminine energy that is gentle, touching the plants with these frequencies. And when we look realistically at what happened to get the wheat to boil, the liquid inside the corn, the stalk, the canola, the barley, what happens literally is that the plants are made of cellulose. Cellulose is plastic. And so when you put boiling water on plastic, it's going to melt or change shape. So literally, when these frequencies hit these plants, it boils the liquid within the wheat, within the stalk of whatever the crop is. And that's when these nodes explode, these little elbows every 5-6 inches that strengthen the plant as it goes up are exploded by the steam coming out, trying to get through, and it blows a bubble or it extends and elongates the node. But sometimes, like I said, there's an explosion and like a black burn spot, and it opens up so the steam can be released. You can't do this as a human. This is an extraterrestrial inner earth technology that we haven't developed yet. But again, we want to be very careful using these technologies and keeping them in the hands of people that are wanting to do good things for the world, because learning to measure and manipulate plasma gives you the ability to create or destroy matter. So yes, you were talking about them destroying the plants. We don't want that to happen. We want to really work with grace. And I love all the people I meet in England, but I don't think any of them have any idea what went on in that lab. It really evidenced the fact that these crop circles are real and they're coming out of the earth and they're doing incredible things for our food system. We need to start looking into this and using these technologies and quit fighting Monsanto and the poisoning of the water. This is insane that this is going on. We have everything we need to be a perfect society.
Patty, congratulations on Crop Circle Diaries, available on PBS, and, of course, your website, pattygreer.net. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. You've been my best supporter.
All right. We'll talk again. For George Norrie, George Knapp, Lisa Lyons, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galati, Chris Burrows, Sean Latasor, Nathan Staten, Donna Walker, and here in Toronto, Nathan Smith, Scott Guest, and Tom Schenck, I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your ears and your voices, your beautiful voices. Until next time, so long for now.